Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I hope this finds you well. My name is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I'm here to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. If you're listening in, and this is your first time, welcome. If you've been here before, you know basically what we do is a market update to give you a well-rounded view of current market conditions, which are eek is the term that sticks in my head. It's not good right now. It's been a rough few weeks. It's all explainable, and I'm going to hit on a couple items and then a forewarning of what's to come as it relates to the news, because out of the woodwork will come the prognosticators, the doomsday predictors, and all the folks that have answers for the current economic environment and what one should do moving forward. And the reality is, in most cases, you shouldn't do anything, especially if you've got a well-diversified portfolio. This happens. The market goes up, it goes down. It has a two-thirds bias. That means two out of every 3 years it's up, one out of every 3 years it's down. I've been in the business for a while. I've seen enough years pass by to realize this is just another speed bump, so to speak, in the long-term road to financial well-being through prudent growth and understanding of how one needs to invest their money moving forward. With that being said, let me just hit on the market update numbers real quick and then hit on a couple items to explain at least why the reaction is taking place and the market is in the red. It's been in the red for a couple weeks now, for the most part, not all, but really predominantly it's down across the board, although we haven't given it all up for the year. So this market update is as of August 19th, market close, August 19th, I'm recording it the next day, 2015, year to date. And what we have here is Russell 2500 index. We're going to look at different index or indice and get an idea of how they are doing year to date. Year to date, the Russell 2500, which is a measurement of small to mid-sized companies in the U.S. These would be small U.S. mid-sized growth companies. And what we've seen year to date is about 3%. So small U.S. is up still, even though we've given back some gains. It was higher earlier in the year. When we go into the Russell 2000, that would be small to very small U.S., a little above a half a point, 0.63 year to date. So it's just barely in the black. So small U.S. is up at this juncture. When we look at Russell 1000 onto the large cap value, these would be large U.S. companies, not growth, but value companies, and they're negative. We actually have large values down 1.126% year to date as of August 19th. We move on to the Russell 2000, small value, not growth, but small value, and it's down. That's the laggard, it looks like, for the U.S. as of August 19th, and they're down 4%. So small value is down 4%, which is really an ouch, especially when you look at where risk premiums come from. That is where science has determined that returns come from in the market historically, and it is in a small and value companies internationally as well as U.S. So a well-diversified portfolio is going to own small value, and it's down 4%. And then the U.S. large is up about a point via the S&P 500 index. So at this point, it looks like U.S. large growth, small growth are really the winners, and we get into the value segment of the marketplace, and they're both down in the U.S. This is why rebalancing, by the way, is important, and we realize that because the market does have a two-thirds bias, two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down, you want to rebalance on a regular basis and not chase the news, which is really what drives the market. You know, investing would be a piece of cake if it wasn't for the people. You know, even if everyone learned the science and practiced the science that's been taught for over 50 years in leading universities, academic establishments, the human emotion, what we call money demons, still creeps in there. And that's fueled by the news that we often look at, especially when we see red market. You know, we start to see the doomsday clock ticking away, as a friend of mine refers to it. You know, no one can predict the future, and if anyone had any insight as to what was going to happen in the future and was smart enough to gain and gather insight, the actionable insight, what would be their motivation for sharing it with you? I mean, if somebody knew what was going to happen in the market, they certainly would have no, unless you were a friend or a family, no gain of any kind to share that with you. And if they had figured it out, they're probably smart enough to keep their mouth shut. So, you know, I've always been leery of the recipe seller. Well, if the recipe is that great, why do you need to sell the recipe? You know, that is these newsletters that pick stocks and pick trends and pick different sectors that they believe are going to go up or down based on demographic data or whatever it is. And, you know, the realities of investing are pretty simple. You own equities, stocks, bonds. You diversify across the entire global market, which is in the neighborhood of 40, 45 plus countries, including the U.S. around the world. You rebalance on a regular basis and you realize that the market does what it does. You know, it's interesting. The credit worthiness of a country is not based on that country. It's not based on the government of that country, i.e. our U.S. government. It's based on the fact that you and I get up and go to work every day. And we like to eat and we want to feed our families. And so we go and out to be industrious, to produce and be productive, to make our time worth something of value that we can trade for the livelihood that we all seek. And to imply that the market's over, that things are ever going to change, when it comes to the reality that self-preservation is going to drive us to that end. You know, we get hungry, we're going to eat. You know, worst comes to worst, we're going to go to work if we have to, right? And by doing that, there's some productivity that takes place. With that productivity comes opportunities to innovate and to move the ball forward and to improve. And that innovation leads to demand. Products are created and people buy those products or utilize those products, whether they be necessities or otherwise. So, you know, as I've learned the science of investing and the realities of investing directly from Nobel laureates like Eugene Fama and Harry Markowitz and Kenneth French and Rex Singfeld and these notable academics that have created the science and verified the science that is taught in the university textbooks to the young minds of our country, all believe and have proved out that it's relatively simple, that investing is just as I had shared with you, own equities, rebalance, diversify, realize it's a long-term, lifelong event. And all the news that we hear, like we're hearing today, predominantly two major notable chunks of news. One is the Fed's inability or inability wouldn't be the right word, lack of desire to stick a stake in the ground. And by not sticking a stake in the ground as it relates to interest rates, because they control the monetary flow in our country via interest rates. Are they going to be lowered? Are they going to stay the same? What's going to happen? And that leads to uncertainty. Now, what do you do when you bring up uncertainty into a field of finance in this regard? That is full of speculation. I mean, if you have the speculator feeding the speculators, then what you have is just sheer chaos. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing people trying to anticipate, make moves, you know, well-read, intelligent moves, albeit, but make moves. And as a result, we see a lot of volume and a lot of panicking, so to speak. And it's there's really no justification for it, other than to speculate, to try to time the market and stock pick, and these things have just been proven not to work. So the two predominant news pieces, besides one being the Fed, their inability or their lack of desire to stick a stake in the ground as it relates to interest rates moving forward, so business people can then act accordingly, i.e., the market. Although the market does figure things in, and there's lags and so on. One would have thought that they figured in the fact that interest rates were going up several months ago, but apparently, you know, again, it's emotionally driven based on the news and then the hype of the news that just continues to spiral everywhere I look. This morning, for example, I see that news. And so for those people that may not be submerged in the industry, you know, you hear sound bites, you may draw a totally different conclusion from a sound bite than the reality of being submerged in that industry. I believe noise is news. News is noise. Noise is news from a viewpoint of what we would call ripples in the market long term. You know, news is a contributing, a huge contributing factor to that because of the money demons and the uncertainty that it brings. You know, people are looking for certainty, but when you look at a chaotic market, you're never going to have that. It's not going to work. You know, it's always easy to be the weatherman who predicts yesterday's weather. And the second item is China. I read this morning that China's going into a bear market. Well, that's yet to be seen. You know, I've had a client call me, you know, should we be concerned about China? Well, no. Why would we be concerned about China? People still like to eat over there. People like to raise their families and be productive. And they're going to continue to be innovative and productive and industrious over there. So, you know, in the long term, Is the news today going to have any effect really on your accounts 3, 4, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? No, if you don't react to it. 2008 is a great example. I can point to in October in 2008 where there was a Friday Dow drop of 800 points. The Dow dropped 800 points on a Friday. What happens to the poor guy or the poor person or the retirement guy's retired or the young couple trying to save money for Roth and some college and so on down the road that are under this impression that once you get out of the market because they're watching all the hype and all the all these people, talking heads, talk about what could, a should, a would, a maybe, might, and would happen and pull money out of the market that day when the market drops like that, only to find the next Monday following that Friday, the Dow went up 1,100 points in one day. You know, losses are realized when they're taken out. They're unrealized until they're taken out. So it's just on paper when the market's red. The market goes up. It's two-thirds bias. It's like going up a flight of stairs with the yo-yo. So, you know, the reason I'm sharing this stuff with you today is to offer, hopefully, a soundboard, a little bit of common sense and reason. The news, It's nothing more to me than entertainment. I have not been able to find any real serious news for a few years now. I find an awful lot of opinion. It's generally backed by some motivation that's larger, that is some organization or whatever. And what I'm finding is it's very difficult to sift through and really find the reality, not the perception. And the reality is right now the market's going through a bump right now, and it's propagated or brought on by two things: the Fed's lack of certainty on interest rates, and the fact that China and Asia is having a rough time, predominantly China. And that's nothing new. I mean, last month it was Greece, you know. So when we look at things, I just want to offer a dose of reality and comfort in that the market goes up, it goes down. You know, when you look at it over the long haul, there's not a better wealth creation tool known to man than being invested in the market. And I hopefully you understand the science, you're invested globally and realize I want to get the industriousness and the work and the effort and innovation and thought and entrepreneurism and adventurous entrepreneurial spirit from the globe, not just certain parts that my manager or my investment guy thinks is going to go up or down based on some newsletter he read about, or something that the broker-dealer that he works with says, hey, let's go this route today. No, you want to be invested in the long haul, and this is nothing but a blip. Do we like to see red in the market on a daily basis? Who does? Nobody does. We like to see green, but the best thing to do is just turn it off and realize it's a long-term deal. It really becomes important when you need the money, and when you start taking money out of a portfolio, you take it out every month, predominantly, the same day every month, and regardless whether the market's up or down, you still eat. You still pay your bills. So it goes up, it goes down, it always hits new highs. Let's move on to the Morgan Stanley Capital International area. That would be the World Index, Emerging Markets, and the Europe Australia Far East. Let's start with the Europe Australia Far East, which this Morgan Stanley Capital International Index is designed to measure basically developed markets excluding U.S. and Canada. That would be Europe, Australia, Far East, Morgan Stanley Capital International year-to-date, 2%, a little over 2% year-to-date, positive, yay team. We go to the World Index and we look at developed markets. This would be developed countries like Australia, Canada, France, Greece, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, United Kingdom, etc. They're about a point up year-to-date. So internationally, in Europe, Australia, Far East, the World Index is up. However, when we look at the emerging markets, it is down, and it's down in a major way. It is ugly. It's 12% to the negative, and that is a big part due to China. In the Morgan Stanley International Markets Index, you have China. Let's see, what's the other major area? Well, you got a lot of the, you know, that whole region, the Asia area, several countries that make up the emerging market. So what we have is a drain brought on by China, a negative 12%. However, academia and the realities of investing from a scientific perspective means that we're going to rebalance on a regular basis, and now's the time to buy emerging markets. Amen? Now's the time to buy emerging markets. As you do on a regular basis, when you rebalance, you sell what's up and buy what's down so that percentages are locked in and held, because only when you have a platform that doesn't move, like our Fed and other areas, only when you have some stakes in the ground can peace of mind ever ensue. Because until we have some place to moor ourselves, if you will, we moor ourselves in the science of investing, it's immovable. We know that the science is as it is today and known today, it's immovable. Now, there might be changes, as there has been through the years, that might change a viewpoint a little bit as it relates to investing, but they've been improvements on the core science. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just end by saying it's another beautiful day. As my grandfather used to say, today is the first day of the rest of your life. You know, I was sitting, it reminds me of a story. I was sitting in a diner in New Jersey many, many, many years ago. I was a younger man and was working out there. And I was a fairly optimistic guy most of my life and still have been, thank goodness. And I'm in there having some eggs in the morning before I'm heading off to work. I was single at that point. And I remember there was this really elderly gentleman sitting a few seats over from me at the bar having some oatmeal or something. I forget what he was eating exactly, but I remember he was eating it very methodically and very slowly. And we're just sitting there, not really conversing. He's doing his thing, I'm doing mine. Well, another guy walks in and sits right between us. And the waitress walks up and says, "Well, good morning, sir. I hope you're having a good day." And he says, "What's so good about it?" And I thought it was the most interesting thing. The old man slowly, methodically pulled his head up, turned around, and looked at the man that was kind of negative that morning and said, "Try missing one." And, you know, that always stuck in my head, you know. There's an old saying, any day you wake up above ground is a good day. And we should not let the markets and the news, which is hard to find good stuff anymore. Boy, you can tell Paul Harvey's gone, huh? No more good news out there. Even when there's good news, there's no good news. But as it relates to the market, just stay the course, ladies and gentlemen. Do not be wavered. The science is very clear. You want to own equities. You want to diversify. You want to rebalance. If you're not doing that, or you're not sure that you're doing that, then let us help you get coached up. Find someone that understands and applies the science of investing. You can start with our website, faicoach.com, faicoach.com. There's quite a bit of information, blogs and videos and stuff on there you can check out. If you'd like to learn more, we are a resource for that. We believe education leads to clarity. Clarity leads to confidence. And only with confidence can one really achieve peace of mind. It is achievable. It's achievable in the financial arena. I know it seems elusive your whole life. That's because nobody teaches the rules. You just need to know the few right things. You don't need to know everything. And learn a little bit about the science of investing, and I think you would feel a whole lot better, especially when we get into rocky, turbulent economic times like we're in right now, based on some uncertainty. So with that being said, Paul Nichols, President of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm located in State College, Pennsylvania. I hope you have a super day, and I enjoyed chatting with you.